Country music is a narrative art that's popular around the world. At the pinnacle of that performance art, you can find names that include Dolly Parton, Ernest Tubb, Patsy Cline, and Johnny Cash. But on a level above, somewhere in the clouds, that's where you find Hank Williams. No matter how much the man's songs have been played, studied, cried over, and admired. Unless you were listening to WSM Nashville on the morning of February 3, 1951, you haven't heard this Hank before.
Another love before my time made your heart sad and blue. And so my heart is paying now for things I didn't do. In anger, unkind words are said that make the teardrop start. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart?
The unreleased recordings of Hank Williams includes performances from the Mother's Best Flower radio program that Hank Williams hosted in 1951. Time Life has just released the songs in a box set. When Hank Williams died on New Year's Eve, 1953, at the age of 29, only 29, he left behind a child who was yet to be born. Jett Williams is Hank Williams' only daughter. She joins us now from Nashville. Ms. Williams, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, listen, thank you so much, and I really do appreciate your interest in this treasure trove of the Mother's Best of my dad, Hank Williams.
And how did these recordings go missing all these years? Because, I mean, there must have been keen interest over the years to find anything with his voice on it.
Back in 1951, my dad was, you know, getting at his zenith, and he was traveling, so therefore he could not do a live radio show every morning. Mm-hmm. So what they did is he'd go in and say Monday and Tuesday, but then they would put what they called in the can Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And back then they recorded on what they called an acetate. Mm-hmm. And these acetates were made for the one-time play. They were put in boxes. And later when WSM was moving, they discarded these acetates. And a gentleman by the name of Les Leverett actually rescued them, and he kept them until later when he met me in the 80s. He said that he believed that these belonged to the daughter of Hank Williams.
So they were just there waiting to be discovered.
Oh, absolutely. But in the meantime, unfortunately, this company got a bootleg copy and they tried to duplicate it and commercialize it. And so therefore, we ended up bringing a lawsuit, and then the courts ruled that these recordings belonged to the estate. They were not for commercial exploitation.
Many of these songs just are so familiar to us for those of us who have treasured your father's work. Let's listen to a little bit of this one.
A picture from the past came slowly stealing as I brushed your arm and walked so close to you. Then suddenly I got that old time feeling, and I can't help it if I'm still in love with you.
Hey, Miss Williams?
Yes, sir.
You're a professional. What is there about your father's voice that just seems to reach inside you and tear out your heart?
When I hear my dad sing, it sounds like he's singing like his life depends on it. I mean, you stop and catch your breath, and you feel as if he is singing that song just to you.
It's hard to know another's lips will kiss you and hold you just the way I used to do.
This was the first time the song was performed, near as we could tell?
Absolutely. And Time Life has also included some of his chatter, where he sets up the song. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's very little, if anything, of my dad speaking. And so you actually get to hear about the history about that song.
Yes, sir. That one
you
go
got
places
him,
sure as a world, huh?
Brand spanking new and good, Louie.
I like
well,
that one.
Never hear nothing but me and you and the folks that just listen, huh?
But the other thing that's fascinating about The Mother's Best is back when my dad was recording under MGM, what they did was they applied compressors and limiters and filters, and that kind of robbed some of that presence that we're hearing in these recordings. And these were made direct to the disc, okay? So it didn't have that middleman or anything in there. And I know a lot of people, you know, with saying, oh, there's just rare recordings or old recordings, and they're going to sound like that. Well, you can hear these are better than the MGM masters.
Yeah, you can hear the breath. You really can.
Oh, actually, if you listen carefully on some of these, they didn't even filter out. You know, this is being done in a studio.
Yeah.
And as you well know, a lot of times there's that little background noise mm-hmm. or somebody coughs or they're talking. Well, if you listen in some of this, we left all that in there. I mean, it's as close to you being in that studio with my dad when he recorded these things, you know, or you're sitting at your kitchen table just like in 1951 when he was, you know, doing these in the morning for those ladies baking those biscuits and those guys out there in the barn milking the cows.
Yeah. Another tune we want to play that I don't think will be nearly as familiar, and that's the art and the fun of it, a song called You Blotted My Happy School Days.
When I entered that schoolroom that morning in May, I noticed you over the way. And then with your pen, dear, you painfully wrote, you blotted my happy school days. I blotted your happy school days. I'm sorry I caused you this pain. I'll ask God to forgive me and to guide me always, for I blotted your happy school day.
I love this song. I hadn't heard it before. Had you heard it?
No, sir, I haven't. And my dad in 1951, you know, it's hard for me to believe he hadn't written Collide or Your Cheating Heart.
Yeah.
And so what is fascinating is I think that he had the honor of picking the songs he wanted to sing.
Yeah.
And so therefore he's singing you songs that were on the radio, songs that were getting ready to come out that he wrote. But then he was singing, you know, old songs that we've never heard before. He's singing other people's songs. But some of these songs that you get to hear him sing, you know, I think, as I said, I think these songs were his favorites, and that's why he sang them.
Can we talk about you a bit?
Because
you weren't always called Jet Williams, let me put it that way.
No, I grew up as an adopted child, and I started on that search like a lot of adopted kids, and all I wanted to do was find out, hopefully, who I was and what happened.
How old were you when you found out?
When I knew to a moral certainty, I was probably in my early 30s. Because back when I started, unfortunately for me, I did not have, the internet was not available.
Yeah.
So therefore, it was the old kind of gumshoe, hit the pavement. And that's really hard because, you know, when you face somebody, they can shut the door in your face. And it's not as easy to be able to have the information that today we have at our fingertips.
To begin search for your father and then to find out your father was Hank Williams, that's like out of a Disney movie. My gosh.
Well, I tell people, honest, Scott, if I made this story up, it wouldn't be this good. It was important to find out that this man, Hank Williams, was my father.
Yeah.
But what was more important was to know that my daddy wanted me. And even though I was born 5 days after he died, I never met him. But 3 months before I was born, he went to his lawyers. He signed notarized papers saying, this is my baby, and I'm going to take full custody of my baby.
Would have been neat to grow up with him, wouldn't it?
Oh, man, I'd give anything to, you know, been able to sit on his lap. I mean, to just actually have him as my dad, to go fishing with him. You know, a lot of times I think my husband and I are fortunate to have things, and I've got a bass boat. I love to fish. And I said the other morning, I said, wouldn't it have been neat if my dad was alive? And I said, we could, you know, just, you know, load up the boat and head on out there and drown a worm.
Jet, could I ask you to pick a song from this Mother's Best unreleased recordings that you'd like us to go out on?
One of them, I think, and it has sort of a family history story for me, is that On Top of Old Smokey.
You know, Louie, there's an old song going around here that's one of the top pop tunes in the nation that my grandmother taught me, one of the first songs I ever remember singing.
What's that?
And a thing called On Top of Old Smokey.
Old Smokey.
Remember that thing?
Yeah, man.
Now, they didn't sing it the way she taught it to me, and back in them days, they didn't sing it like they sing it now.
No.
I'm going to get the boys and see if we can do it like the old, old-timers used to
do. All
right,
let's
hear it. They're going to join in on here. On Top of Old Smokey, huh?
Chet, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Oh, Scott, thank you for your interest. You know, as I said, to me, this is totally historical, and I'm just so thrilled to death that it survived.
Chet Williams, speaking from the studios of Spotland Productions in Nashville. This new box set is called The Unreleased Recordings of Hank Williams. It's available from Time Life, and you can hear more Hank Williams on our website, npr.org/music.
A thief, he will rob. And take what you have, but a false-hearted lover who'll put you in your grave on top of old smoke.
And to see just how far back my own admiration of Hank Williams goes, you can visit our weekend soapbox blog at npr.org/soapbox. And by the way, you can download and subscribe to this and other features from our show. Just come to npr.org/WESAT, or you can find us on WeTunes. It's called At Your Leisure from Weekend Edition. What did I say? I said WeTunes. I beg your pardon. I meant iTunes. By the way, Allison Stewart, who can speak much better than I can, is going to take over this seat next week. And you don't have to get a pencil out and write down any special address for her. Just tune in this radio program called Weekend Edition Saturday. This is Weekend Edition Saturday from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
On top of